I was just wondering if you could start off. Talks, TTIP talks began in 2013. Can you start off by telling me how much progress has been made since then?
So in the spring 2016, so that's about 3 years after the negotiation round started, the Commission said that they had made substantial progress in about half of the dossiers. But if you consider that the easy dossiers are, of course, often the ones that are dealt with first, that means that the other half of the dossiers is the more difficult ones, where very little progress has been made or no progress at all. Then it shows that it is highly unrealistic that by the end of the year that the other half of the dossiers can be dealt with within 2 3 months. Under normal circumstances. Now, of course, the pressure is extremely high now at both sides to make a deal before the end of the year. So, of course, it's that makes it more likely that both sides would be giving away on major issues which they would normally not do.
Why
But
is there
even then,
pressure?
the pressure, well, in the US, the pressure is because Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have both said that they are very critical of trade agreements. Trump said that he would reject a TTIP trade agreement. Hillary Clinton has not spoken directly about TTIP, but she has said that she is against the TTP agreement that the US has negotiated with countries at the other side of the Pacific.
Okay.
It is very unlikely that the next president after November would still take the same enthusiastic approach towards TTIP. At the European side, the pressure is high because public pressure is increasing almost by the day, and more decision makers as well are arguing that actually the TTIP agreement is not beneficial for their country or for their citizens. So there's also, and then of course, the Brexit issue makes it even more complicated. I think also the Commission realizes that if they don't strike a fast deal, the whole issue might be off the table for a longer
Okay.
period.
Okay, so we'll cover Brexit in a second, but what countries are becoming kind of more lukewarm towards TTIP? We've seen François Hollande talk down TTIP a few months ago, didn't we?
Yeah, that was François Hollande, but also Germany, the economics minister Gabriel also made very critical comments a month ago, even 2 weeks ago, when President Juncker said that TTIP, or so, sorry, that CETA would be a mixed agreement, sorry, an EU competence agreement only. You could see that countries like France and Germany were reacting very, very strongly on that and saying this is not acceptable. So these two big countries, in both of them, there is quite a lot of skepticism about TTIP. But also in countries like Austria, there's a big public debate in Austria, and also especially the investment court system, which has been included in the trade agreement with Canada, and which the Commission has also proposed for TTIP, is highly controversial. A lot of countries, Austria, Hungary, Slovenia, have big problems with that investment dispute settlement mechanism, because
Okay.
basically it puts up a parallel semi-legal system next to the existing legal system, and that is highly controversial.
Which, if I'm right in thinking it allows multinationals to sue governments if policy affects their profits. Have I got that right?
And so
Okay.
that's a lot of famous cases like the Vattenfall case in Germany, where an energy company, Vattenfall, is taking the German government to such a tribunal and claiming several billions of euros because of the decision to phase out nuclear energy. And that's the threat, or that's the fear from more and more countries, that whenever they take a measure that is in the public interest for protecting the environment or for including consumer standards or health standards or labor standards, that a company can go to a tribunal and claim massive compensation. And the problem with these tribunals is that they're not the regular courts, but they are a bunch of trade lawyers, and they are they take a very pro-trade biased position.
Okay. So, are these dispute settlement this dispute settlement mechanism, is that the only sticking point, or are there other
No,
issues
there are
where the
other
US and Europe are
systems.
miles apart? So.
Yeah, no. So on procurement, there's a big controversy because the EU wants to have wants to have access to or EU wants to have access for European companies to EU to US procurement procedures. So, for instance, in the US, there is this Buy America kind of rule, which favors local or national products, and that means that European companies often cannot take part in procurement biddings, and the EU wants to change that, but there is massive resistance in the US against that. On the issue of financial regulation, there's also huge disagreement because the US doesn't want to have a chapter on financial regulation in the agreement, while the EU is very keen on that. That might change a little bit because of the UK, because of Brexit, because of course this was very much an interest for the UK government with the financial sector in London. On public services, there is big disagreement. US companies wanting to have access to public services in Europe. So, in case of privatization or in case of providing services that are now public services, the US wants to have access to that market as well, which is highly sensitive in a lot of countries. There's increasing disagreement on agriculture issues. More and more farming groups are speaking out against TTIP because they realize that the US, with lower health and environmental legislative standards, and with a much more large-scale production, can probably overrun European markets. And European farmers are fearful that they will be outcompeted. So there's a whole range of issues also on regulatory cooperation, which is maybe also one of the key chapters of the whole renegotiation. There is still no kind of agreement what they want to achieve with that. So there's a quite a number of issues. Also, the geographical indicators is sensitive for European countries because they fear that the US would be making Greek feta cheese or Danish cheese or other
Oh, I see
local
here.
products, that they would be allowed to, let's say, copy these products and bring them under a similar name and export them to the European markets.
Okay.
So these are some of the more controversial issues where over the last 3 years very little progress has been made.
And are GM crops still an issue?
What the EU all the time says that it will not include anything on GM. At the same time, the US industry, but also the US agriculture ministers have said that agriculture issues and specifically GM are some of the most important ones for the US. So it's hanging above the table. And of course, that's what you get now if you get to a situation where countries are giving away big interests in a kind of a last minute deal. Then something like the GM could be included again, and then if the US, if Europe gets something from the US and they have to give something back, then who knows what that will be. That could be GM, that could be another sensitive issue as well.
Do you really think that there's going to be this mad rush to get a deal and major concessions on both sides?
On the one hand, yes, because that's what there's the fear of the risk that that happens, because that's also what Commissioner Malmström last week is saying, that she's confident that they can strike a deal before the end of the year. At the same time, I think there's really a difference between the Commission and the member states. The Commission has put its reputation on the line with this these trade negotiations, and for especially for Commissioner Malmström, for whom it is her let's say her life job at the moment, this is really important. But for member states, which are actually losing interest in the topic, for them it's not at all a life or death matter, so they will be much less inclined to give up big interests just for the sake of making a deal.
And I
So
guess.
I think in the end, I don't think it's going to happen. But the Commission will definitely push hard for it.
Okay, I guess that takes us on to Brexit and talking about the impact of Brexit on TTIP. Is it not the case that the EU Commission will now be a little bit more desperate to show how good they are at negotiating trade deals and how worse off the UK is going to be outside of this group?
Yeah, I think it does make it if the EU can say that, of course it can make a deal with the US and the UK would not be part of it, that would show the interest of being part of the EU. But at the same time, I think there's also the argument that that actually, if you look at who is in favor of TTIP, then it becomes more and more clear that this is basically business groups which are pushing for it, and part of the politicians which are very having a pro-business agenda. But if you look at the rest of society, there's hardly anyone who's pushing for it. So there's the trade unions are against it, consumer organizations, civil society, but also more and more local governments, small, medium-sized enterprises, more and more of them are speaking out. Farmers start to speak out. So in the end, the question is, if really no one or hardly anyone, no citizens are in favor of this, why would the Commission be doing that? If the Commission is serious and understood the Brexit vote, and that it should be listening more to what its EU citizens want, then actually you can make a strong argument that the Commission should stop negotiating, because this is not a deal that citizens want or that is in the interest of citizens.
Is
So
there
I
any
think that's.
evidence to is there any evidence to say that citizens don't want it? Is there any have any surveys been done or?
Well, there are lots of surveys being done, which say that from 1 or 2 years ago, that 70% of the citizens are in favor of TTIP in some countries. But I think if you would have looked at the questions, or if you would have looked at the survey at that point in time, then you should probably have concluded that 99% of the citizens didn't even know what TTIP was. So,
Okay.
if I mean, of course, it's always a bit tricky to talk about or to say which part of citizens like it or which part don't. What is very clear is that you don't hear any kind of citizens' initiative which is in favor of TTIP, but you do hear a lot of initiatives and a growing number of initiatives which is against TTIP.
So it's
So,
your, I mean, is it your belief that the fact that the Commission is continuing to negotiate TTIP, it's symptomatic of the fact that they're out of touch with European citizens.
yes, and it is almost lo a logical consequence of, if you look at who the Commission is preparing this with. The whole idea for these negotiations came already from the business sector, and if you look at all the meetings that DG Trade, which is leading the negotiations, that if you look at whom they are meeting with, then it's 80-90% of all their meetings is with business lobbyists. So they get a constant push from organizations like Business Europe or the Chamber of Commerce or the chemical industry or the car industry to do these negotiations. And that's let's say their market, that's their clients or that's their audience, DG Trade, and that's the ones whom they're influenced by.
Okay. So what other impacts do you think Brexit will have? I mean, will it, for instance, slow negotiations down?
I would think so because if you see already the EU and the UK need to start negotiating about the Brexit deal. This is a massive negotiation task, which to a large extent is about trade issues. It's about access to the EU market for UK companies. So it's the same people who would have to do the negotiations with the US or with other trade partners outside Europe, which also have to be involved in the negotiations with the UK. So just from a purely capacity point of view, there is a huge competition from the Brexit negotiations once they start. And of course, it's obvious that everyone will conclude that the negotiations with the UK are more important than the TTIP negotiations. So from that perspective, I think there is a clear competition, and normally speaking, that should lead to a slowing down of the capacity or reducing the capacity of the Commission to negotiate with the US. But also, I think there is already a lot of question about the appetite in the US for making a deal with Europe. The UK leaving, of course, doesn't make it more attractive for the US because the UK is still one of the biggest trading partners for the US. So if the UK leaves, that's probably something like between 10 and 20% less market or less trade included in that deal. So that's also, of course, not strengthening the appetite for the negotiations. The same is actually with the Canada deal now, because they're that's the one that is supposed to be signed in autumn. The UK was responsible for about 30% of the trade with Canada. So if the UK steps out of the EU, then the whole agreement is much less attractive for Canada.
Sure. Okay. Do you think that Brexit will be the final nail in the coffin for TTIP?
I think it's not the final nail or the ultimate thing that makes it happen, but it's one of the nails. So if TTIP, the negotiations were going well, and if there was not massive public opposition already, then Brexit wouldn't probably make the difference. But in the situation where there is already all these other factors that make the negotiations very difficult, then having another problem is of course making it even more likely that negotiations will fail.
Okay. So, and just finally, it's your feeling that TTIP isn't going to happen.
That's yeah. I don't want to. I don't want to expect that already because there's still a very strong push for it, but that's the kind of signal that we're hearing more and more in Brussels, from coming also from people within the institutions, from the member states, that some of the member states are people are saying that that TTIP is basically close to being dead. Of course, these kind of agreements often have 9 lives, so I'm not counting on that yet, but it's definitely going in that direction.
I mean, it sounds it's like it's at the worst point it's ever been at. It's
Yes, I think the problems are bigger than ever before.
Okay. Fine. Okay, Paul de Klerk from Friends of the Earth Europe. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat to me.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.